top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Monday, or actually, it's a Wednesday, January 29th, 2020. I'm your presenter, Hassan Robinson. Here are the headlines. We have a lot of silent, educated persons who are scared to speak on national issues, laments Dr. Julius Schillingford. A Jamaica Minister for Health and Wellness, Dr. Christopher Tufton, says categorically that there is no truth to the claim that there is a case of the coronavirus at the University Hospital in the West Indies in Jamaica. And President Donald Trump presented his long-awaited Middle East peace plan, promising to keep Jerusalem as Israel's capital, an independent Palestinian state, and recognition of Israeli sovereignty over West Bank settlements. The news is brought to you for the very kind compliments of Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. The details of these stories and more coming up next.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe. And Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins and bidets. PVC piping, fittings and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
And we're back. With reference only to a recently held eggs and breakfast session hosted by the Dominica Association of Industry and Commerce in partnership with the International Organization of Migration, Pastor Randy Rodney says that there was something striking about the information shared. Rodney stated that he is very concerned about the out-migration of intellectuals from the country, commonly referred to as the brain drain.
The movement of people outwards is largely those who have attained a certain academic qualification. So we really have what I have heard referred to as a brain drain, a local brain drain. When there is a brain drain, there is an economic drain as well. So there is a movement of economics and economies and monies. And that is very concerning.
Rodney alluded to a change in ownership of Philipsburg St. Martin from the natives to expats.
Now, I am not one of those proposing that we must be so myopic that we must not allow people to come into a country. After all, we have more Dominicans outside of here than in here. But once we get to a place where our brains develop other countries and other people come here to suck what we have, I guarantee you this, most of those who come to other countries don't come because they're just coming to plow everything that they earn back into your country. We see it every day by the lines at the cash companies. We experience it. They come to earn what they get and go with it. There are certain communities now that are becoming deficient in certain areas, not because they never had, but because whatever they had was taken away and not replanted. I want you to think of the sustenance of a country, the sustainability of the lives of the people here, and think about this in a very holistic way. And I'm hoping that there will be a much wider conversation about this with the public. I notice sometimes, you know, certain people have conversations and they strategically make sure that some other people are not there. But, you know, if they don't invite you, then do it yourself. And I'm really hoping that we can begin to consider that and consider it from the perspective of the nation, from a holistic and sustainable perspective.
And that was a Kingdom Connection radio host, Pastor Randy Rodney. And the president of the Dominica Cancer Society, Yvonne Alexander, thanked the public for the growing awareness and visibility of the society and the work that is doing. It is her opinion that the society's outreach and publicity has endangered a new interest in its work.
The general public is responding. Many more people are coming on board, so we are grateful for that. The fact is, people do not like to speak about diseases, but we have to We have to, because it is an opportunity for everybody else to have an appreciation of what the situation is, and for they themselves to try to protect themselves. And so I think our going out and doing some probably much more, little more publicity, raising awareness, has fueled new interest.
The society is concerned that many more individuals are being diagnosed with cancer, and says that another important concern is the country's rate of mortality.
Among the concerns we have is the fact that many people continue to be diagnosed with cancer, but more so, individuals are being diagnosed at a younger age. Long ago, probably people used to be a lot older. There are certain cancers that afflict, like children and so on. But right now, the main cancers affecting us in Dominica, the breast cancers, the cervical cancer, the prostate cancer, people are being diagnosed much earlier. People are dying as a result of cancer. And we do have instances where individuals die within months of being diagnosed. It speaks to late diagnosis. It speaks to the fact that we don't have a culture of getting screened, so that by the time we go to the doctor, it's when we have a symptom. And this is what we're trying to avoid. You know, prevention requires that we do everything that we possibly can, and that means screening. And then we also have the situation where timely access to treatment remains a concern. Many people do not have health insurance. Some others do not have the financial means. Wages are not so much that you have all of this extra money, and cancer treatment costs thousands of dollars.
Alexander stated that the expense of the treatment needed is another major area of focus for the society in terms of mobilizing financial resources for such purposes through various fundraising activities.
And everybody's familiar with the Walk for Cancer. It is one of the mediums through which we raise funds. But also we are asking people, like, just throughout the year, we are a not-for-profit organization. We receive a small stipend annually from the government just to operate our office. So it's just to pay for the rent, the utilities, and, you know, the little things that you need to keep an office open and running. This is all it does. So the funds that we utilize to assist the so many people who turn to us requesting financial assistance to pay for their treatment, and it's in the thousands of dollars, it comes from the fact that there are many people who have been very generous and who support us and who make donations to our, what we refer to as our cancer care fund.
And that was the president of the Dominica Cancer Society, Yvonne Alexander. And a call is being made by the Agriculture Ministry for farmers to embrace the importance of appropriate actions to avert risks or further see the destruction of the sector. Director of Agriculture in Dominica, Ricky Brumant, made this statement on Monday at the opening of an agricultural workshop focused on creating a disaster risk management plan.
All citizens, of course, of Dominica should be involved in this resilience building. All Dominicans should be preoccupied with disaster risk mitigation in whatever sector you are. It so happened that we are in the agricultural sector, and so all of us must play that part and ensure that we do that in a practical fashion. We want to build an agricultural sector that is modern, that is renewed. We want to build a team that will expose the citizens of this country to a developing sector that will continue to do what it does. It has to be competitive, it has to be productive.
And that was the Director of Agriculture in Dominica, Ricky Brumant. And we have a lot of silent, educated persons who are scared to speak on national issues, says Dr. Julius Shillingford, as he asks, when all these national issues come up, why don't we hear the voices and where are they hiding? And this question came in relation to the level of injustices being faced in Dominica, drowned in a deafening silence of persons who are supposed to be the trumpets of social democracy and stewardship. He says that one cannot help a country to develop if they are in the background hiding in the bushes, and one must be brave enough to express themselves according to their rights.
We have a lot of educated people here. Mm-hmm. When all these national issues come up, why don't we hear their voice? Mm. Where are they hiding? Why are they leaving it up to Loftus Duran and John Branch and the Blessings to talk about the issues?
And Matt.
Where are they? I say very often, And they hear me say it, I say, look, the lot of you, you cannot help the country to develop if you're back there hiding in the bushes and you don't want to be seen. Where is your voice? This is a democracy. We have a right, every citizen in this country have a right to express an opinion and to express a view without fear or favor. That is how it should work.
And that was Dr. Julius Schillingford speaking on the Patriots Voices on Q program. And reigning Miss Dominica 2019, Marisol John, says she has grown as a young woman, becoming more independent since her participation and victory in the 2019 Miss Dominica pageant.
Before the show, I won't lie, I was very sheltered by my parents. My parents and my family, they would take care of me. They would protect me from the outside world. But the Miss Dominica pageant has exposed me to the world, and it has made me seen the world for more than what I would have seen in my myopic view under my parents' wing. It was an eye-opener, and it was very emotional having to go through this entire pageant, the criticism that I received, the support that was lacking. I can say that it allowed me to grow. It allowed me to be strong for myself, as well as to rely on the people who I knew were there for me.
Ms. John also spoke of a royal program which was launched at the beginning of her reign, and spoke briefly of activities undertaken by the royal program, including a cardio jam and activities for community outreach purposes.
So we've done other projects for community outreach purposes. The last one we did was actually last Friday, a donation to the Sacred Heart Preschool located on Virgin Lane, better known as Miss Burton's Preschool.
Okay.
I actually adopted that school under the Royal Project. So that goes to say Royal is not going to end now.
Right.
It will continue to live on as long as I live and thereafter for my legacy. So we donated some school supplies. We also spent some time with them playing some games, and we had a little snack so to share with them.
Okay.
So it was a very nice experience.
And that was reigning Miss Dominica 2019, Marisol John. And Dominica's fire and ambulance service claimed that they made history while reporting that they responded to over 9,000 ambulance calls in 2019. Dominica Fire Chief Josiah Dupuis believes that data alludes to a rise in non-communicable diseases, accidents, fires, access to telephones, and the state of the health sector in Dominica.
We've come to the point where we've seen us exceeding 9,000 ambulance calls for the year. Probably that tells a story about the state of our citizens. We are certainly seeing a steady increase in ambulance calls that we respond to transport persons, whether it's from the hospital, but mainly to the hospital and other medical facilities. In fact, this is an all-time high for us to exceed 9,000 ambulance calls for the year. That, of course, as I said, would include calls to the hospital, a few of them from the hospital, but also responses to fires and accidents. Certainly suggest one, probably more access to telephones that people can call, maybe more awareness that they can utilize that service. But probably tells a story too about the prevalence of non-communicable diseases and its impact on the populace.
And that was Dominica Fire Chief Josiah Dupuis. And the Discover Dominica Authority organizers of the World Creole Music Festival, the region's greatest indigenous music festival, announced the official dates for the 2020 edition of the festival. That's carded for October 23rd, 24th and 25th of 2020 at its usual venue at the Windsor Park Sports Stadium, Rosa Dominica's capital. The 22nd edition of the festival will be held 1 week earlier to accommodate preparations for celebrating the country's 42nd anniversary of independence on November 3rd, 2020. This year's festival patrons will have the opportunity to kick off Creole Week on the weekend prior to Creole Day and enjoy the various Creole celebrations in the week after the festival. The World Creole Music Festival, which is a part of the wider celebrations for Dominica's annual independence anniversary and is preceded by a variety of cultural events, competitions and fringe musical events, has become well known for attracting some of the region's major acts in the Creole musical genres like Kadas Lipso, Bouya from Dominica, Zouka from the French Antilles, Compa from Haiti, as well as the other genres in the Caribbean and African roots like reggae dancehall from Jamaica, soca and calypso from Trinidad and other Caribbean islands, and Afrobeat from the African continent. As a result of the growing popularity of the festival and the demands for flights, accommodations and tickets for the festival period, visitors are especially encouraged to make early reservation for flights into the destination for hotel rooms. And Max Roy Challengers are the champions of the St. Joseph T20 Rounders League. In the final plays at the St. Joseph on Sunday, they defeated the home team St. Joseph Phoenix by 3 wickets. St. Joseph Phoenix made 173 for 6 in 20 overs. Marie-Jean Graham, 39. Shael Mason, 25. Patricia Brown-Luke, 23. In reply, Max Roy Challengers made 188 for 7. Angela Maglo, 37. And Rosette Ernest, 23. Max Roy Challengers received the championship trophy and a cash award of $1,500 and the gold medals, whilst St. Joseph Phoenix collected the runner's trophy and the silver medals. Also in sports, girls' schools netball continued yesterday at two venues. In the game played in Wesley yesterday between the Northeast Comprehensive School and the Orion Academy, scores were 17-6. Scores for the NECS were Shakira Bellot, who made 19 attempts to score 10, and Johanna Abraham made 16 attempts to score 7. Orion's shooters, Mianna LaRue, 10 attempts to score 3, and Lanique LaRue, 4 attempts to score 3. In the sports division, a secondary school's netball competition at the DGS grounds. In game 1, Castle Bruce Secondary School versus PSS Section B or Zone B. In the under 16, CBSS won 18-16. And the scores for the CBSS, Beatrice Thomas, 24-14. And Jody Christmas, 12-4. Scoring for the PSS in Zone B, Mahalia Williams, 13-10. And Kalani Henry, 9-6. In game 2, also at the DGS, Academics versus the State College in Section B or Zone B, the game ended in a tie 18-18, and scores for the Academics, Kenny Capelli, or Pell, 26-15, and Angelina Cassie, 12-3, scoring for DSC, Miana Linton, 1-1, and Mahalia Tuse, 23-17. Also in sports, the 2020 Massey United Insurance Secondary Schools Under 20 Cricket Championships bowled off at two venues, at the Benjamin Parks and at the Botanic Gardens. Malachi Xavier and Yawani Regis were in fine form on Tuesday as they both performed with a bat and ball in the Massey United Insurance Secondary School Under 20 Cricket Championships match at the Botanic Gardens. Batting first, the Pierre Charles Secondary School were led by Yawani Regis, unbeaten 108 to finish on 172 all out. Support came from Ashwan Lockhart, who scored a 34. Malachi Xavier picked up from where he left off last season as he bagged a 6-60 from a 23.2 overs, and Tariq Tuse 1-44, and Justin Jude 1-28. In their turn at the crease, Malachi Xavier belted his way to the 118 before the Goodall secondary were bundled out for 146, just 26 runs short. And Yawani Regis took a 4-18, and Anand Bruno 2-25, and Xavier Mitchell 2-20, bowling for the PCSS. In the second innings, Malachi Xavier ripped through the PCSS batting lineup again as he bagged 8-18 from 6 overs, and Tariq Tuse also got 1-17 as the PCSS were bowled out for 82. Chasing the 109 for victory, the Goodall Secondary School finished 24-5 at the stumps, with Xavier Mitchell claiming 3-11 and Yawani Regis 2-11, giving Pierre Charles Secondary School the win on the first innings points. Captain of the Pierre Charles Secondary School, Yawani Regis, told the media that he was in good form and that it felt nice that he could contribute to the team, but he thought that he could have done better into the fields. He says, "I want my guys to keep their heads up because we have other games to play." And on his unbeaten tone, Regis says, "My 100 today, I just want to dedicate this to my niece." Meanwhile, Malachi Xavier says that the performance from his team was a good one, and the guys put in the best effort that they could have put in, and I appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to the next match. Pierre Charles Secondary School winning on the first innings points against the Goodall Secondary School. And in other news, Jamaica Minister of Health and Wellness, Dr. Christopher Tufton, says categorically that there is no truth to the claim that there is a case of coronavirus at the University Hospital in the West Indies in Jamaica. Tufton made the declaration at the press conference this afternoon, or yesterday afternoon, at the ministry, which he also announced that the travel advisory will be issued for people heading to and from Jamaica and China. Dr. Bruce, medical chief of staff at the UHWI, elaborated saying that, ladies and gentlemen of the press, in a statement later that he gave, he says, one, in terms of Jamaica's preparedness for the coronavirus, we have had discussions with the cabinet and their PAHO and WHO, and that's Pao and Wu, representatives, and our technical team in the ministry brief cabinets on the status of the country, and this is what's happening. Two in the morning, we had a meeting with the Minister of Foreign Affairs and the Chinese ambassador, and based on those discussions, the GOG will continue to surveillance the protocols, and the free active surveillance will continue at the ports of entry, and a travel advisory is being issued for those in Jamaica who planned on traveling to China. They are being asked to do so, also defer their plans. And five, for families who are concerned, for the relatives and friends in China who are there to work or study, or a conversation in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs indicates that plans have been put in place to facilitate the needs in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and will speak more broadly on those plans. And also in international news, U.S. President Donald Trump has presented his long-awaited Middle East peace plan, promising to keep Jerusalem and Israel's undivided capital. He proposed an independent Palestine state and the recognition of Israeli sovereignty over the West Bank's settlements.
My vision presents a win-win opportunity for both sides, a realistic two-state solution that resolves the risk of Palestinian statehood to Israel's security. Today, Israel has taken a giant step toward peace. This is the first time Israel has authorized the release of a conceptual map illustrating the territorial compromises it's willing to make for the cause of peace, and they've gone a long way. We will also work to create a contiguous territory within the future Palestinian state for when the conditions for statehood are met, including the firm rejection of terrorism. Under this vision, Jerusalem will remain Israel's undivided, very important, undivided capital. This map will more than double the Palestinian territory and provide a Palestinian capital in eastern Jerusalem, where America will proudly open an embassy.
And that's the morning news. Here's a recap of the headlines. We have a lot of the silent, educated persons who are scared to speak on national issues, laments Dr. Julius Shillingford. Jamaica Minister of Health and Wellness, Dr. Christopher Tufton, says categorically that there is no truth to the claim that there is a case of the coronavirus at the University Hospital of the West Indies in Jamaica. And President Donald Trump presented his long-awaited Middle East peace plan, promising to keep Jerusalem as Israel's capital, an independent Palestinian state, and the recognition of Israel's sovereignty over the West Bank settlements. The news was brought to you for the very kind compliments of Rudolph Thomas Enterprises.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens.